welcome to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast, an audio resource that encourages biblical thinking for biblical living as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. And now, here's your host, Pastor Thomas Overmiller.
Welcome to episode 195 of the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast. This is Pastor Thomas Overmiller. And yes, it's been a little while since I've been on the podcast, but it's been a busy couple of months. I'm glad to be back and am looking forward to talking about some more important things in the days ahead. Today, our question is this: where do we go when we die? Maybe you've asked yourself this question before. Maybe someone else has asked you this question and you gave them an answer, but you're not exactly sure what the Bible says or where it says it. Usually when we hear or ask this question, two words come to mind: heaven or hell. But let's take a look at what the Bible says about this. Let's be more specific. Let's be more accurate. Let's be more clear. In the Old Testament, there is a word in Hebrew called Sheol, or Sheol, some people will say. The Hebrew word Sheol appears throughout the Old Testament. It is a word that, for instance, in Genesis 37:35, we read, "All his sons and daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, 'For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning.' Thus his father wept for him." And so this, "I will go down into the grave." The grave is the word Sheol. Other places in the Old Testament, this word is translated as afterlife, or the netherworld, or something like this. Sheol refers generically to the afterlife, though some translations do use the word hell. It doesn't always necessarily refer to what we're thinking of when we hear that word. It refers to the afterlife, life or existence beyond this life, on the other side of death, the grave. Though the Old Testament understanding of this realm does seem limited, believers in the Old Testament expressed hope that God would eventually deliver them from this mysterious place. In Job chapter 14, verses 13 to 15, we read, Job says, and Job was a righteous man. This is the oldest book in the Old Testament. It goes back to the time of Abraham. And so Job says this: "Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. You shall call me and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands." And the word here is grave. Hide me in the grave. And you read from these verses that there is an anticipation that God will call and his people, the believers, will answer, and he will desire the work of our hands. There will be a judgment coming. Another place, Job 19, 25 to 27, Job says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." And here he's speaking about the idea that there's coming a day in which he will die and be buried, and maggots and so on will eat up his body in the grave, but his body will be returned to him, and with his very eyes he will see his Redeemer, the Lord, as we know Jesus Christ today. And so there was this anticipation by Old Testament believers that though the death and the afterlife, the grave, was an ominous place, mysterious place, undesirable place, that God would bring them out from there and resurrect them in the end. However, non-believers did not have this hope. They would be consigned to a miserable condition in the grave without the hope of deliverance. They'd be stuck there. Believers had the hope of release. At the end of time, the Old Testament tells us that all who died would be released and assigned to their eternal destinations. So this is speaking of a release for everybody from Sheol in eternity future. And Daniel 2, or 12, verse 2 says, "And many of those who slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life," those would be the believers, the righteous, "some to shame and everlasting contempt," and those would be non-believers. In the New Testament, we also have a similar concept to Sheol, but in Greek, the word is Hades. Hades appears 11 times in the New Testament. Like Sheol, it refers to the place where the immaterial, non-physical, part of people go when they die, the grave. Jesus described Hades as a place of fire, pain, and vexation for non-believers, and we find this especially in Luke chapter 16. In this passage, Jesus also describes this as a place of safety, comfort, and rest for believers. Now, in Luke chapter 16, it says, "It was that the beggar, a poor man, died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried, but he was tormented in flames." This place, Abraham's bosom, or paradise, Jesus calls it elsewhere, appears to be that place in Sheol, that place in Hades, reserved for believers. It was a comfortable kind of a waiting place for believers as they waited for the Messiah to come to actually die and raise again, deliver them from that place. And so it was not a place of torture or torment. It was a place of comfort and rest called Abraham's bosom or paradise. But it was in Hades, in Sheol, from what we can tell. Now, there was another zone, you could say, in Sheol, in Hades, reserved for non-believers, the unrighteous, the wicked people who did not believe on the Redeemer, on the Lord, in this life. And this place is what Jesus describes as a place of torment, a place of flames. From what we can tell, this place, Hades, Sheol, is located deep within the earth. And Jesus speaks about this. That may be a reference to the center of the earth, something like that, or it simply could be a reference to the grave. We're not exactly sure, but that is a possible location for this place. When Jesus died on the cross, he went to Hades after his crucifixion. That's where he went. It speaks about this in Matthew 12:40. He of course told the thief on the cross, "Today, after we die, you will be with me in paradise." Jesus went there after his crucifixion, but here's the thing, he did not remain there. He didn't stay there. According to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, he went down there, he preached a message, and then he came out. He resurrected from there. We read that in Matthew 12:40, Acts 2:27 and 31. God did not leave his soul in Hades. Well, at this point, or shortly afterwards, it seems that Christ released deceased believers from Hades, or Abraham's bosom, or paradise, just as Old Testament saints had anticipated. Paul clearly teaches that deceased believers today don't go to Hades anymore. We don't go to this paradise, or this Abraham's bosom place. Instead, we go immediately to the presence of Christ, where God dwells. And this is possible because Christ has died and resurrected now. According to 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Philippians 1:23, Paul writes, I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And so today, believers no longer go to Sheol. We no longer go to Hades, that part called Abraham's bosom, that zone called paradise, is no longer functioning in that sense for believers as a comforting holding place. We go immediately without our bodies to the presence of Christ in heaven at the throne where God is. And so that's where believers go today when we talk about going to heaven. For non-believers, we are still talking about Hades, but the part of it that is not paradise, the part of it that is filled with torment and flame. Now, that leads us to one more place, and that is Gehenna. Gehenna is a related New Testament word to this concept. It is less generic than Hades, and it refers exclusively to the final and eternal destination of non-believers. Jesus refers to this at Matthew 10:28. He says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And here he's referring to Gehenna. Gehenna. Gehenna is this place. John refers to it in Revelation 20:14-15, as the lake of fire. It is the place where non-believers will go in eternity future. They will be returned, resurrected from Hades, presented before God at the great white throne judgment, and at that judgment, they will be declared guilty and sentenced to eternity in the lake of fire. They will not be returned to Hades. They will be cast into the lake of fire forever, just as believers will enter into the kingdom of God forever. This is a future place. It is not a place that non-believers go to now. It is interesting to know that Gehenna refers not only to the future fiery judgment of non-believers in the lake of fire, but also it referred to a well-known geographical phenomenon of Jesus' day. Gehenna, at that time, was also the Valley of Hinnom, the word means, was a valley outside of Jerusalem with a terrible history. Two of Judah's Old Testament kings, Ahaz and Manasseh, had authorized infant sacrifices by fire to be carried out to the false god Moloch in this valley. The Old Testament speaks about this, and the Kings, the Chronicles, the prophets, especially Jeremiah, speaks out against this. And so this was a valley outside of Jerusalem with a terrible history of child and infant sacrifice to false gods, wickedness of worse kind. Now, in Jesus' day, that practice no longer happened, but instead, that valley was used by the Jewish people. It was a foreboding place used as a dump for burning garbage and the bodies of executed criminals. And so this valley, though on a minor scale, served as a vivid illustration of what that lake of fire will be like for the wicked for eternity on a much grander scale. So let's summarize this. Prior to the death and resurrection of Christ, everyone went to Hades, or Sheol, after death, though their bodies remained in the grave. Non-believers endured a terrible experience there, while believers enjoyed a restful one. Today, deceased non-believers still go to Hades, Sheol, while believers go to the presence of the Lord in heaven instead. Believers will receive their physical bodies free from sin when Christ returns at the rapture and will enter into the kingdom of God forever following the Bema Seat judgment. Non-believers will receive their bodies at their final appearance. They will be released from Hades or Sheol, appear before the great white throne, but will then be sent in eternity into the lake of fire, while believers spend eternity in a new heaven and earth that God will make, free from sin, death, and evil in every way. I hope this discussion has been helpful to you. If you've got any questions, feel free to go online, shepherdthoughts.com, post a question. This study is presented with a lot more Bible verses to look up and hyperlinks, that kind of thing, at Shepherd Thoughts. Just go to shepherdthoughts.com, type in where do we go when we die, and the Bible study will come up. Post a comment there. Let me know what you think. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
This has been another edition of the Shepherd Thoughts podcast. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you to devote your heart and mind to biblical thinking for biblical living. Thank you for listening.